Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the South Carolina Fellowship of the Fisherman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Fisherman Ministry in South Carolina. Let's worship the Lord.
He rolls the fish, leads the angels playing on the ribs. Our God is an awesome God. There is thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists. Our God is an awesome God. The Lord wasn't joking when he kicked them out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close. You better be believing that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. When the sky was starless in the void of the night, our God is an awesome God. He spoke into the darkness and created the light. Our God is an awesome God. The judgment and wrath he poured out Sodom. The mercy and grace he gave and set the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. God is an awesome
God. He gave us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy. As for I showed them my power. As for my people Israel, I showed them my power. But as for my servant Moses, I showed him my way. But as for my servant Moses, I showed him my ways. Will you learn my way?
Salvation.
salvation and of your power. There will be no end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And I apologize. This is one of three songs that when I hear it, they make me cry. The other one is, "So Lord, You're Beautiful and Creating Me a Clean Heart." And those two songs especially, to me, really just shine the love of Jesus Christ, because He is able to create that clean heart in us that we need. Amen. If we will make Him our Lord and our Master. It was interesting, a couple Saturdays ago, I decided I would listen to what I preached on at the conference last year. And I was speaking about everybody loves the Savior part of Jesus Christ. And I mean, really, it's when we come to the place that we realize that we need a Savior is when most people accept the Lord. That's where we're in a place that we can't get ourselves out of. And that is probably the first step into serving the Lord in most people's lives, is you accept Him as your Lord and Savior. But the Lord part is where we all struggle. Well, that's where I struggle. I shouldn't speak for everybody else. Well, Brad and I share that. It's not a good thing. But I know that in Rick had a 2 weeks ago when he preached, you know, I mean, it really hit me of how much of my life am I doing the will of the Lord? You know, I can see things that I think I should be doing, and it's amazing after talking to Steve about just 10 minutes, what really needed to be done is there's not time given for it, doing the other things. So, folks, the key is that we make the Lord our Master, not only our Savior, but our Master. You know, it says in Matthew 7, no man can serve two masters. He will either love the one and hate the other, or despise the one. And that other master for me is myself a lot. I mean, I think that's where the big hang up is trying to serve yourself and loving yourself more than others. Because when the Lord becomes your master, it's not about you anymore. You've died to yourself. It's His will, not mine. Amen. Jesus is the perfect example of that. Not my will, but my Father's will. If we can get a grasp on that, where we really just every day look at it as an opportunity to serve the Lord and go preach the gospel to people. You know, it says, truly the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few.
That's right.
How do we increase the laborers? By ministering the gospel to other people. So I hope we all do a better job.
I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. In my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Amen.
Repeat that.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
You know, thinking of that song, Will You Learn My Ways? That's a question. That's a question. And there we have free will to either choose to say yes or no. Or to show yes or no in that. One of the things that James was talking about was making Jesus your Lord. And there's really no other better way. And we talk about how He has a plan and we have opportunity to get on that plan. We have opportunity to make him our Lord. And we sing that song, you know, show us thy ways, O Lord. And it was interesting because he's faithful in that all the time. He really is faithful in that all the time. I mean, I heard just last night Steve kind of talking with Brad and James, and I didn't hear everything, but I could just hear where the Lord was using Steve to show them a better way. And that was the Lord's way in many things. I mean, it wasn't even that long of a conversation, but there the Lord laid it out for both of those guys and some ways that they can now go forward in and let go of the old ways that they are used to going in. And the Lord's faithful that way. I mean, he really, really is. And yet we have opportunity on a daily basis to do just that. And not just for ourselves, because the other scripture that you used there, James, where the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few, is what you said. And that is just the case. And see, if we're about doing our own thing, about going about our own way to establish things, that means we're not listening to the Lord at all in his way. And what good would that do to minister unto anybody else the gospel if we're just all caught up in our own business, in our own mess, in our own whatever the case may be. And it was a very praise the Lord this morning as I went and talked to Linda, because Linda was out and about, kind of like on a ministerial run with her folks and these kinds of things. And we talked quite extensively about some of the things that were highlighted to minister unto her folks there. And she took that advice and brought that to them. And it was a very similar situation that I went through not too long ago myself. But it was an interesting thing in the midst of all that. Man, if it's not just for you making him Lord. I mean, it is bigger than you about making him Lord. It's about others as well. And one of the things was when Linda got that counsel from the Lord, and if she was not faithful to bring that counsel unto the ones she was ministering to, how would they even have the opportunity to grab a hold of the gospel that is right there before them to obtain? It wouldn't. It wouldn't. And if we're all about our own business and doing our own thing, how can we be a part of his body and his thing in ministering the gospel to others? See, you can't have it both ways. And yet there's opportunity there because of just being this simple obedience unto the Lord. It gives others opportunity to grab a hold of that gospel. And it's much bigger than us. It's much bigger than us. It's all about him. And one of the things is that in the scripture in Philippians, it talks about working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And it's in that place, just as the people she was ministering unto had that opportunity to obtain, grab a hold of the gospel, and that the power of the Lord, of power of the gospel, would move mightily in their lives. It's the same with us as well. And yet if we will not take heed to the counsel and the way and making him Lord in these things, I mean, don't just presume that everything is going to be just fine. I mean, it's something we are accountable to the Lord ourselves. When we go stand before him at the last days, it's not going to be, you and somebody else. It's just going to be him, you before him. But we sang that song, I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my pain, I'm trading for the joy of the Lord. And I love that song. Because before I came to the Lord, and as I've been in the Lord, and as I want to highlight that, because it wasn't like that I have not had struggles in the Lord, absolutely had struggles in the Lord. But any time I let go of my, when I run into those crossroads where I had a choice to either go and do my thing, go my own way, and just justify myself, or to choose Him, His way. Every time I chose Jesus, there was that trading that I was doing for that sorrow, that pain, that sickness, and it was gone. And what would happen was abundantly above I can ask or think happen. And the power of the gospel and the power of the Lord and His love just manifested in my life. And it just didn't manifest in my life. It manifested in those around me as well. And it also gave them opportunity to grab a hold of the gospel themselves. And so turning to making Him Lord is not a bad thing. It's something we should be praising God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for this day and this opportunity that I have to do just that. And you look at David, and I like David a lot. And you know, I talk about a lot of David. It's because I read through with my kids, and that's where we're reading about. But one of the things that you've seen David do on a regular basis was making his Lord, Lord. Lord, should I go up and do this? Yes, David. I will deliver them into their hands. Lord, should I go back and get the wives and the children? Yes, I will. You deliver them unto me? Yes, I will. And you see many, many times, time and time again, where he went to the Lord. He went to the Lord. He went to the Lord. He didn't go out in presumption, just presuming that the Lord was with him. He did not do that. And it was a couple weeks ago in that sermon I remember very distinctively of just that, where Rick was preaching on just that. I mean, we have an awesome God, and we can be a part of an awesome plan if we would have it. But that's a choice that each and one of us make for ourselves. We can't make it for others. And as I was telling Linda, I mean, you can't make that choice for them, but she laid out the opportunity for our folks. But it's the same with us. We have the opportunity every day to make Him Lord. And He's faithful and He's just to reveal us His ways every day. If we would just bring those things to the light. And a lot of times He's faithful, we're not even bringing things to the light, but the light just comes and shines down and He shows us a better way. I mean, that's how faithful He is. I'm done.
Comes like
going down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless. Where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness. Where all the I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you. Here, my hope is found here. On holy ground, here I bow down. Here I bow down. Here, arms open wide here. You saved my life here. Surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer, folks. You know, you sing that song and there's a line in it. I'm in awe of you. See, really, if you haven't had the experience of God's move in your life that leaves you speechless, where you just cannot believe that he was able to fix that, then let me just tell you something. You don't really know him yet. You don't really know him yet, because actually that is the place he wants you to dwell every single day. Every single day where you are standing in awe of him. And you only are going to stand in awe of him every single day if he is operating in your life. And if he's operating in your life, you cannot help but stand in awe of him. You can't help it. It's impossible not to. You know why? Because he is greater than you. He is way greater than you. I mean, way, 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 way greater than you. Amen. And because he is way, way, way greater than you, when he is operating in your life, you are in awe of what he is doing right now. But you cannot operate in that place unless you do one little thing. And that is, you're going to have to live by faith. It says, the just shall live by faith. Now, you want to know where most people get off and they can't seem to get past. It's like we were singing that song, you know, what is it? Yes, Lord, right? I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my shame. I'm trading my pain. I'm trading all this stuff for the joy of the Lord. So people come up and they sing that song. Yay, yeah, praise God, hallelujah. And they go right back to all things that bring them sorrow and shame and pain. Right? Isn't that what happens? And you get down and I'm sorry, Lord. I did it again. I find myself here again. And you know what holds most people back in that? And the reason why they keep going back to that is because they can't seem to find, how do I walk by faith? And you know what they don't realize? What the thing that's holding them back from walking by faith is fear. It's fear. Somebody, James or Phil, was mentioning this thing about, you know, will you learn my ways? It's a question mark, right? Will you learn my ways? All right, how much of your life, when it's taken up, whether it be as a father, being the prophet, a husband, being the prophet, priest, and king of his household, whether it be a wife and being a good helpmeet, whether it be in being a minister or an employee or a parent raising children, where you're, you know, the Lord has these really short, concise statements, you know, like, raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's like you don't have to read the Encyclopedia Britannica to get what it is he's talking about. But then you're like, but how do I do that? How do I do that? And then what do? Instead of turning to faith because you're afraid and stuff like that, you look everywhere else. Maybe on the internet somebody's figured this out for me and they have a curriculum for it. Right? They have the curriculum. If I just buy that curriculum and I follow it, I will be fulfilling that. No. Well, maybe, you know, that person over there looks like they look like they have it together. I mean, I know I don't have it together, but they, I mean, from what I can see, they sure look like they have it together, because as for me, I don't seem to have anything together. So what do? You go try and do what they're doing. And you look all of these different ways rather than going to the one who actually knows precisely how to accomplish it with your children, how to accomplish it at your workplace, how to accomplish it in the ministry the Lord's given you or in the husband or wife that he's given you. Rather than going to him, we look everywhere else. And you know what it's really a function of? And we don't realize it. It's a function of unbelief. See, when you get down, you don't know how. I mean, we have these words. We've been talking here of late about, like, repentance. We have these words, repentance. And somebody who's passed through repentance can kind of lay out what it looks like and what it looked like in their life and what they did and stuff like that. But the fact of the matter is you will never know what repentance is like until you do it. When you do it, you then know what it's like. When you start to do it, you're not sure you know how to do it. But you get down on your knees and you say, Lord, please forgive me. Help me. Help me. I need help. And you get down into that place, and it's amazing how the Lord then shows up and guides you out. He guides you to be through the process of repentance. He guides you to be the prophet, priest, and king of your household. He guides you to be one who raises your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He guides you to do all of these things. And then, as he guides you to do these things, you know what? You know those things. You come to know his ways. You come to be able to walk and see his ways and situations. And you come to be able to share with others how to do it. That's what happens. But unless you walk by faith, you can't. And fear is the great faith killer. It's the great faith killer. Because, but I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know. Well, look, you've just acknowledged something that has been obvious to the rest of us all along. You're a freaking idiot, and you have no idea how to do anything good. Why can't you now acknowledge it to yourself? You're saying it out loud, but you won't actually agree with yourself that that's the case. You still think that somehow you have the ability to do it. It's amazing. We'll say these things. I don't know. And yet you operate as though you should know, or you're supposed to know, or you, instead of just going, Lord, help me. I have no idea what to do in this situation. I have never passed this way before. Help me. Help me. Show me the way out. Put in my heart and mind those things you would have me do, because if you don't put them there, you know what's liable to happen. I am about ready to do just about any stupid thing that can be done. Isn't that what your life usually looks like? You go through your life, you kind of bumble along, and you do one stupid thing after another stupid thing, and then another stupid thing, and then yet another stupid thing. And all the while, you're not realizing you're doing something stupid until they all come down on your head, and you're like, oh, crap. Now what do I do? How did I get myself into this situation? I mean, looking at people out here, and I'm pretty sure I'm looking at people out here who I could say at the end of the week, you're like under all that crap going, how did I do this again? How? I didn't start out the week with that intention. I went to church on Sunday. I'm laying it down. I'm going forward. But, you know, blessed be the name of the Lord and all the other songs. And you get 5 steps out the door. You fall flat on your face. You do it like 16 times before you get home. You come back the next week and you're like, now what do I do? Well, now what you do is you choose Jesus, and you choose to believe him, and you choose to walk by faith in his ability, not your own. It's your ability that keeps getting you into all the screwed up situations. It's your ability that can't seem to find the way out. It's your ability that fumbles around and doesn't know what to do in the situation. It's your ability that looks at 2, 3, 4 children in the morning and goes, now what? Maybe one. Now what? What do I do today? Oh, my God, help me. But that's where it begins. You just get down. Oh, my God, help me. And then you choose to believe him. And you step out by faith. And you minister. You don't wait to know all the answers. And as you're in the midst of ministering, and you're like, man, this isn't quite going so well, you go again, help me, Lord. Say, wait a second, children, just go outside for a few minutes. Play outside. Try not to kill one another. And then you go back into your closet and you get down on your knees and you say, Lord, help some of me. I have already screwed up. Help me. You don't have to have real articulate prayers. You know, you don't have to like write them down and study them grammatically. And you know, like when you're texting using Siri, you know, comma. Yeah, you don't have to do all that stuff. Just speak from your heart and say, help me. I don't know what to do. I don't want to keep doing as I do. Help me. And when you do that, what happens is the Lord shows up. And as the Lord shows up, your confidence in him grows. See, take the situation with a woman and her children. How many women in this room are terrified of completely screwing up their children as homeschooling moms? Think, oh my God, they're going to get to the age of 18 and they're going to be complete, total, utter disasters. And it will all be my fault. Anybody have that kind of experience? Do we have anybody who's brave enough to show a hand that they go through this kind of thing? How many fathers are like, I don't want to touch that. I don't even want to go there. I don't really want to know what's happening over there because I surely have no idea what to do if they don't. Any fathers out here in the group who have that kind of thing who are kind of like, that's my wife's job. That's her job. I don't know. I don't know what to do. Anybody got that? Any fathers brave enough to raise their hands? All right. See, that's fear. And that's unbelief. And that's self-love, not loving others. It's the truth. It's the truth. And as long as you're operating in that place, do you really expect God to inhabit that? Do you really think coming on Sunday and singing a few songs and telling somebody, yeah, no, Jesus is cool. I love Jesus. You know Jesus and stuff like that. It's going to make it all better. And they're all going to go, boy, I want to join with you. That doesn't get it done. What gets it done is that we fight the good fight of faith. Like Paul did, we lay hold of eternal life and we don't give it up for anything. All right? And you'd fight that good fight of faith by turning into those things that you're avoiding. And stop giving yourself excuses for all your mistakes. You don't learn as long as you keep excusing yourself. I didn't do that because of this. Well, if you didn't do it because of that, then it's not your fault, right? It's that other thing's fault. And I can't change that. I mean, that's my husband, that's my wife, that's the kid. You know, what do you expect? You give me this to work with, Lord. What am I supposed to do? None of that is about faith in an awesome God. Absolutely none of that. See, what you got to do is you got to get shed of this little g God that you serve. This little g God who's incapable of handling your situations. That little g God is not the God we serve. The God we serve is an awesome God. He is the one who's able to take any situation that man can do nothing to fix. Absolutely broken, no chance. And he can make it right. He makes it right. Not only can he makes it right. It is his desire to make it right. There is no problem too tall for him. But you have to step out in faith. Not presumption. See, presumption is to just go walk out, God's with me, I'm, you know, and all this other stuff. Faith is the realization that without you, Lord, I can do nothing. And so the first thing you're doing is you're begging for him to help you, to forgive you, to have mercy upon you. And then you get up and you go, thank you, Lord. And you say, all right, Lord, may you search the hearts of my children and guide me to minister unto each and every one of them perfectly in accordance with your will. You know each of their hearts. Search their hearts and move through me to minister unto the needs of their hearts. And then you set out to do just that. You set out to do just that. Teach me how to love my wife, Lord. Teach me how to be the king who establishes a rule that is just and equitable and fair and loving and perfect in my household. Put your word in my heart and mind for my family, Lord, that they can know your word and know you are true. Each of these things God has the ability to do. And he will do it for you if you will but believe him and have the love to step out and desire to fill that role. That's what it's all about, folks. It's not all that complicated. Help me. I'm a dummy. I'm going to put my trust in you. And I'm going to love my wife, my children, my brother, those that are without? Do you think God's not going to move mightily if that's your attitude? It is impossible for Him to not honor such an attitude. It is impossible. So get rid of all the other nonsense we spend all our time and week and days and months and years, and get down to the basics. And you will see the Lord show up. You will see that shame go away. You will see that pain go away. You will see all those things that plague you will no longer have the victory over you because of Him. Amen.
Our God is an awesome God. There is thunder in His footsteps and lightning in His fists. Our God is an awesome God. The Lord wasn't joking when He kicked them out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that He shed His blood. His return is very close. You better be believing that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
When the sky was starless in the void of the night, our God is an awesome God. He spoke into the darkness and created the light. Our God is an awesome God. The judgment and wrath He poured out on Sodom. The mercy and grace He gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten. Our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
I listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.